Merry Christmas, everybody. I really hope this Christmas is such a precious time with the people you love, but if your family is somewhere other than with you, and probably in your home country, please know you have a family in fellowship. My name is Ray, one of the pastors here, and we're just going to say we love you guys. It can be really hard not being with the ones you love. 6 weeks ago, my granddaughter was baptized by my son in Australia, and I wasn't there, and I got to tell you, it killed me. I think we got a photo. Oh, my goodness. Why wasn't I there? Being with the ones you love really is one of the great joys in life. And I know different families celebrate Christmas differently. You know, you South Americans, you party hard on Christmas Eve and they open the presents then. In my family culture, all the kind of extended family gets together after Christmas lunch and then we open the presents. And we just love seeing the kids and the grandkids open the presents. They have more than they should, but we love it anyway. Christmas does look different around the world. So on Facebook, I came across this Christmas tree. Take a look at this. It's made out of bananas and sweet potato. That's about the best looking Christmas tree I have ever seen in my life. And one you can eat at the end of Christmas. Had a friend of mine who had moved to another country. It wasn't a Christian country, but they, in the mall in December, they celebrated Christmas, had a Christmas vibe. And he went there in December one time. Jingle Bells was playing. There was Santa Claus, no surprise. But in this mall, Santa Claus was nailed to a cross. I think they might have missed the point. Let's face it, I think a lot of us missed the point. That's why we actually need God to help us understand what God did at Christmas. And in a nutshell, it's simply this, that the God who has come to be with us is the God who is for us. There it is in a nutshell. The God who has come to be with us is the God who is for us. 2 points captured in two names, Emmanuel and Jesus. Let's look at the first point. God wants to be with us, Emmanuel. The story begins with a sweet couple, Joe and Mary. Joe discovers that Mary, his fiancée, is pregnant. He knows he's not the father. And so he's feeling betrayed and hurt and ashamed. So what does he do? In his head, he plans to end the relationship. He doesn't see a future, but he's a decent man and he doesn't want to bring shame on Mary. So he's going to end the engagement privately, secretly. You see, Joseph didn't get that his story was part of a much bigger story, a better story. You know what that story is? That God doesn't want to give up on us. In spite of the fact that we broke his heart and broke his law, he actually is committed to wanting to be with us and us with him. So the angel steps in, gives him a dream, and in the dream sets the record straight. This is what he says. This is the first, Matthew's gospel, the first of four accounts of the life of Jesus. Let's go to it. Now remember, we're letting God explain Christmas to us. Matthew 1, verse 20, Joseph, son of David, the angel says, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. So that the child in Mary's womb is a gift given by the Spirit of God. Now, like gravity, we don't know how it happens. We just know that it happens. And what happened was that God's Son took on human flesh in the womb of a virgin. Well, that's a one-off experience. Proving that nothing is impossible with God. Amen? Amen indeed. Rather than Mary doing the wrong thing, God had done the greater thing. That Mary had the privilege of giving birth to the Son of God who created her in the beginning. Amazing. We parents, we think our children are God's gift to the world right now. Grandkids are. Well, mine are anyway, but I don't know about yours. But you know, you kind of think that. But like literally, Mary's son was the gift to the world. That in a sense, God's greatest gift was the present of his presence. And this was not like kind of a last minute decision by God. The prophet Isaiah, 700 years before, had predicted this sign. Look at Matthew 1:22. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet Isaiah. The virgin, and this is the prophecy. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means a little bit louder. Oh, yeah, yes. The sign here is a virgin will give birth to a son. Well, you don't come across that too often. This was one of 322 promises and signs helping us to pinpoint who is the true Messiah, and it's Jesus. What a relief for Joseph. Whew. Mary didn't do the wrong thing. And what a surprise. The kid in his fiancée's womb is God, Emmanuel. What a blowout. And that's consistent with the whole arc of the Bible. You know, this idea of God with us. At the very beginning, God walked with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And then in the future, we're told at the very end, God will come down himself. God the Father himself will come down and dwell with his people in the new creation. Because nothing matters more to God than for him to be with us. That's the big idea of Christmas. Nothing matters more to God than to be with us. Do you get this? Tomorrow, my wife and I, tomorrow night, are going to catch a plane and we're going to travel 14 hours to get to Australia. We're not going there to see the kangaroos and the koalas. We're not traveling 10,000 kilometres in a tin can in the air so we can see the Sydney Opera House and watch Australia lose to India in the next test.
I hope not.
We're going for one reason. We are desperate to be with my family. That's exactly right. They're the cutest kids in town. Well, they are for me. That's why, because it's all about, that's just tapping into reality for all of us, that longing to be with the ones you love. In a world where you're lucky if someone will cross the street to help you, God crossed the universe to meet you in the flesh, up close and personal. What an amazing God we worship. And what that means, amongst many things, is this. God knows firsthand what it's like to be you, to be frail and fragile, because he too became human and frail and fragile. He knows what it's like not only to be loved, but to actually be hated as well. That followers of Jesus are never left alone in this broken world, that he promises to be with you 24/7. Not even your wonderful husband or wife can do that. Not even your parents can do that. Like, he is with you. If you come to him, he is with you 24/7, whether you're awake or asleep, or whether you're awake and you want to be asleep, like, say, 3 o'clock in the morning and you're filled with anxiety. Whether you're alone or in a crowd, whether you're laughing or in tears. You know, true story, studies on the brain have now shown through MRI tests that your experience of a level of pain varies depending on whether you're alone or with somebody. If you're alone, you experience the pain at a higher level. If you're with someone, the experience of pain is less. But if you're with someone you love and loves you, your experience of pain is actually lesser still. So God puts on human flesh, moves into our neighborhood so that he can walk with you, suffer with you, be present with you, for one reason. You were never meant, and I were never meant to do life on our own. What a great God. And that is why Christmas is such a big deal. He is Emmanuel, God with us. That's the first point. And then the second and last point is this. He has come to be for us, captured in the name Jesus. Because there's a sin problem and it needed to be solved. Look what the angel tells Joseph in verse 21. The angel says to Joseph, she will give birth to a son and you are to give him the name Jesus. Why? Finish the sentence. Yeah, because he'll save his people from their sins. Now, I know you Filipinos and Spanish and Portuguese speaking brothers and sisters out there, Jesus is not so much, it's a very common name for you. You name your kids Jesus. It's kind of strange to the rest of us, but God bless you. We've got on our welcoming team, we have a Jesus. We had on staff, our former kids director of children's ministry, would you believe, was Jess. This is his passport. His passport name is Jesus. I actually worked with Jesus. Look what his date of birth is. December the 25th. His work visa said, priest. Can you imagine when he gets to the airport? Mate, you've got a lot to live up to. But of course, no one can live up to it. Thank you, Jess, for letting me use that story. The name Jesus means God saves, and there's only one who can live up to that name. You shall name him Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from their sin. Rather than God rejecting us because of our rebellion, God has come to rescue us from our rebellion. Whew. But why do we need to be rescued? It's kind of very humbling. Because the thing about our sin, our rebellion, it drives a wedge, a wall between us and God. It's like trying to maintain a relationship with someone you're at war with. It doesn't work. Just to make the point, Jesus, when he grows up, will make it very clear. One of the most shocking statements Jesus ever taught is this, Mark 10. You ready for it? No one is good except God alone.
Whoa.
I think we all thought there was something wrong with us, but man, that's saying it really strongly. And it's really hard to admit to. I'll give you an illustration of this. There was a reality show from the United States called Moment of Truth. The contestants, if they answered the questions, got a whole lot of money, but they had to answer them correctly. But the questions were about their personal life, so it got really intimate. And to make sure they were telling the truth, they were attached to a polygraph like a lie detector. Anyway, one contestant, Lauren, she's been answering correctly, and then she's got only three questions to go before she gets the $100,000. Third last question went like this, Lauren, do you think you should have been married to your ex-boyfriend instead of your husband? Awkward. The husband's right in front of her. She pauses, thinks for a moment and says reluctantly, yes. Correct answer. I'm not saying it's a right answer, but it's a correct answer, according to the lie detector. Okay, she's two questions now close to getting the 100,000. Second last question. Lauren, have you been intimate with someone other than your husband while being married to him? Ooh, pauses. Looks at her husband, pauses. Yes, she says. Well, there goes the marriage. But she's close to the money. $100,000 is coming. One more question and she gets the money. Here it is. You ready for it? Lauren, are you a good person? That's an interesting question, isn't it? She pauses. Yes, she says, I think I am a good person. Well, we didn't see that one coming. But really, you know what the real surprise is? The lie detector said she was lying. That deep down in a place she was too proud to admit to, she couldn't admit to what she really knew about herself, that she wasn't so good, that the lie detector only said what Jesus has been saying for the last 2,000 years for all of us, not just Lauren, and that is no one is good except God alone. And that's why Jesus came to be with us, so that he could rescue us. You know what Christmas is? Christmas is marks the day when God says the time for pretending about sin is over and the time for receiving forgiveness has come. Amen? Amen. That's why heaven is for forgiven people, not for good people, because Jesus said no one is good except God alone. And what a relief that is. And this rescue plan by Jesus, it took him to the cross. It was Jesus on the cross, not Santa. And he rescued us from a debt we couldn't pay, from a shame that we couldn't remove, from a punishment that would never end. You see, Jesus came to rescue you. Why did he do that? Because he wants to be in relationship with you. That's how much he loves you. And you know why you know Jesus' personal name? You know why he gave you his name? It's so that you can be in a personal relationship with him. I remember having lunch when I was about 18. I had lunch with a friend who had just become a follower of Jesus. And afterwards, I came away thinking, man, she's got something I don't have. And what it was is she had a personal relationship with Jesus. Now, I always believed in God and I always went to church, but I did not have what she had and I wanted it. And a year later, I got it. You see, Jesus is saying, come to me. It's very personal. Follow me. Love me. And no matter what you've done, what you've become, I'll take care of that. You've messed up, I'll take care of that. Just come to me because I am for you so that I can be with you. You know, they say you're born into this world looking for someone who's looking for you. And you know who that person is? It's Jesus. It's like when you get off the airport and there's someone with your name. There's someone who wants me. You know, Jesus came for you, but I wonder, Jesus wants to be with you, but I wonder, do you want to be with him? Jesus came because he's for you, but I wonder, are you for him? As someone said, Jesus came to our place, took our place, and invites us back to his place. And he says to you today, are you coming? Or are you going to let another Christmas day pass you by where you'll knock back the hand of invitation? My friends, let today be the day. Wouldn't it be great if today, the day that Jesus was born, you become born again? And by that I mean you accept Jesus as your personal Savior and God. If you want that, if you realize, in a group this size, guarantee there's a number of you who want to say, that's it. I want to take the hand of the one who is for me and who wants to be with me. If that's you, why don't you join me? I'm going to pray a personal prayer so you can have a personal relationship with Jesus. And I'm going to do that right now. So why don't you just close your eyes for a moment? And those of you who think you're ready to take the hand of Jesus, let's just slow it up for a moment and reflect on this moment. We've heard profound things. The God who came to be with us is the God who is for us. With me, for me. If you want Jesus and want to be in a relationship with him as your Savior and God, make these words your words as I pray them in your own heart. Dear Father in heaven, on this Christmas Eve 2024, I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for sending Jesus into this world to be with me and for me. I don't want to do life on my own anymore. Thank you, Jesus, for being on my side and providing full forgiveness and a clean slate. And Lord, today, for the first time, I want to say, Jesus, I want you to be my Savior and my God. And I ask that by the power of your Spirit, you will empower me to do that. And I pray this in Jesus' powerful and precious name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen indeed. Friends, I want to say, if you prayed that prayer for the very first time, we want to say welcome to God's forever family. Why don't the rest of us give them a round of applause, because that's what's happening in heaven right now. Woohoo! And I want to say that the judge of all the earth now is your dad and heaven is your home. And can I say, there's a next step for you and for anyone who's here. You're not ready maybe to pray that prayer, but you are curious. And if that's you, well, of course, you're welcome. A good next step is come along to our Sunday services. We meet in two hotels. Love you to join us. There's two stations in the back where you can pray and ask questions. And thirdly, I want to say that next big step is to come to Alpha. And I tell you why. Because it's a place with people who've got questions, who are searching and like having a good time. And they do all three at Alpha. And there's a QR code that you can register in the section at the back if you want, in one of the stations. But there's a QR code there and it's on the card that you were given. Here it is, that card. And can I say, let's listen now to one man who actually is part of fellowship, who decided to do Alpha for the first time. This is his reflection. But before I go, can I say this? Have a happy Christmas and have an outstanding 2025. May it be a year of great blessings for you. Love you guys.
I've been a churchgoer all my life. I've been a Christ believer. But to be perfectly honest, there's always this part of me that's missing. There's time in my life that I feel lost, I feel distracted, I live a life of sin. And nothing is really making me feel complete. It's a daily struggle, it's a daily thing that I feel that something is missing, something doesn't click in my walk of faith, in my journey. And Alpha helped me in so many ways, cannot even begin to imagine or describe it. to be perfectly honest, I was hesitant to join at first because Alpha is from the word itself. It's the beginning. So I thought it's for the beginners. It's a beginner's course. I find out that it's for people who has a lot of questions. It's not just for people who don't know Christ or who don't know the gospel, but it's for people who is longing, who is thirsty, who wanted to know more about Christ. And I'm glad that I did, because when I did, it was one of the best decisions I've ever made in my life. It was life-changing. I didn't know that it's something that would transform me. I thought that it was just a regular course at church, but it wasn't. It was completely different. I found my purpose.